In this podcast, we talk about the best camera modes for shooting landscapes. And as always, Paul and Adam are wrong, and I'm right. Grab a brew or buckle up if you're commuting and get those nasty thumbs downs at the ready. Welcome to episode 18 of the podcast.
Yeah, hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Are we all watched? This multicam setup gets complicated, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Which one am I looking at now? Yeah. I get to look at two. It's great being head of the table.
Brilliant. You're always head of the table.
We were talking about we might look at a little bit of sponsorship further down the line for the podcast, and then any money that comes into that, invest back into having someone help us.
That's because we've had some comments, haven't we, that have said, oh, you're overexposed, you're underexposed. Well, the problem is we can set everything up, but the light changes in the environments we're in, and it'll get dark, it'll get light and things. So if we want to make things a little bit more professional with regards to the video editing and timescales, that's possibly why we'd get sponsorship to fund that and make things look a little bit more professional.
Or we could open it up to our audience, invite someone to come and do that for us if you wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you would like to come and edit the photo notes for us and film it.
It's like the, we mentioned guests, haven't we? And possibly getting some guests on in future. But they're not going to be, we want them to be interesting, don't we, and diverse.
Yeah. And probably not be an interview either, just be someone who comes and joins in the chat.
We don't want to make it an interview channel per se, do we? Somebody comes in, we get an extra microphone, and they join in the chat.
As far as I can see, almost every other photography podcast is doing just interviews, isn't it? I think that's why we decided early on that we didn't really want that, didn't we?
I think we just wanted to go our own way, didn't we? I think if we tried to make it a rigid format, it would be really boring for us very quickly.
Kind of discovered as well, working with the two of you for a while now, is that if we try to do something, we'll generally not get it quite right.
No.
Whatever we try to do, something completely different happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, we're 16, 17 episodes in, we've still not got the audio right. The beauty of it is when we had a single camera set up, people said to us, it'd be great if you had multicam. We set up multicam and people say, who do you think you are? You smart asses. Trying to be like a movie. You can't win.
I know.
I think Gary's editing this one. So exactly.
Gary's editing skills are awesome.
Just all me. So you'll just hear my voice. Then it was silence, and my voice
this microphone's not on. Neither is Paul's.
All right. So what are we going to talk about this week then, guys? Oh, I'm going to say, I thought we mentioned that we were going to get another person in when one of the three of us couldn't make the podcast.
Yeah. You two were so popular when I wasn't there that I'm really scared that if I go away, I'll never be allowed back.
I mean, from my point of view, you two are just irreplaceable. So
I get that.
The shoes are too big to fill.
I get that.
Probably literally in your case.
But. Yeah. He's at least size 12, isn't he?
Size 13, thank
Third
you.
Size 13. Hey,
really?
Yeah. Size 13, yeah.
Big feet.
Yeah.
Big heart.
No. That's not true. Big feet, yes.
I think the beauty of it is when you've got three people, you bounce off each other well, don't you?
Are you here for the next podcast sit?
The next podcast sit, I think...
Didn't we say we've got
it was
going to
be? It was
I'm getting excited
be,
now. Do you know where I'm going with this, Adam? I'm getting excited now.
Oh yeah, well that's up to you guys. I said I can't make the next one because I'm going on holiday, but we might have enough in the bag to do it before we come back. But if you two guys want to do it on your own, I'm sure the listeners and the viewers will be much appreciative.
We're talking camera modes today. That's the title, isn't it?
That's camera modes. Camera modes.
I don't know how people feel about the 15 minutes that's at the start of every episode where we don't talk about what the title is.
Do you know what's awesome? It shows that we're not obsessed by YouTube and bounce rates, because most people have switched off.
Yeah, because on my own channel, if I've titled it something, every single time I will start like, hello and welcome to, we are talking about blah,
yes,
blah, blah, blah.
That's it, because you want to keep that bounce rate low.
The five greatest things that keep you watching a YouTube video.
The 7.5 best tips, photography-wise,
6.8.
6.9. Anything but 7.
You could try and be smart and do pi, like the 3.14.
Yeah. I wonder how YouTube algorithm...
I know pi to 3, two decimal places, Some people know it to like
3.14789623848974.
Normal service will be resumed if you're listening in the podcast world. And after, just wait till I start talking. Just hang fire.
After 3.14, it was all rubbish.
I don't know. To be fair, I'm fascinated by how some of these numbers affect art.
Mm.
So like that, pi, the Fibonacci sequence.
Yes, it is absolutely fascinating, really, especially when you look at photography and how it works to the human eye and how it works for composition. So you mentioned Fibonacci. And,
again, normal service will be resumed. But
this is photography related, isn't it? Of course it is. Fibonacci is.
So you're saying what?
So if you were to subscribe to The Raw Room and see my landscape photography masterclass... Okay.
Which is awesome, by the way.
I talk about the...
Do you subscribe?
I
or have, is he giving you a username and password?
He's
given you a username and password, and he hasn't given me a username and password. Like, for some other reason, out of the blue, I find out that you two now are going off and doing vlogs by yourself.
Yeah.
And he's probably interviewed you for the Raw Room as well, and not even mentioned me.
The Raw Room is...
It's because Paul was so kind to do it for no money.
That's right. It.
Whereas I'm going to have to pay you, aren't I?
Yeah, you're a professional. I'm not. But the Raw Room is awesome.
If I was to log in, can you give me an admin user
and
password?
I'll give you a login, mate, yeah.
Is it admin and what's the password?
Yeah, password.
Capital P.
Everybody's going to be typing now, aren't they? Admin, password, that's it. And it'll go all around internet land to get into Adam's thing for free. But
anyway, there is a bit about the Fibonacci sequence and how that leads on to the golden spiral.
Wow,
and stuff, and
I'm intrigued.
How you can use that.
Haven't you got a T-shirt with it on?
Yeah.
You have. Yeah.
I never mentioned that. It was just a subtle hint for the nerds of us that
yes.
are out there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It is, but I find it fascinating. But it goes through all aspects of nature. So the way a seashell is constructed and flowers are constructed and everything is all to do with mathematics. And I think it's absolutely awesome.
It is
and amazing.
Fascinating stuff.
But I'm not going to go any further than that because after that, I really don't know how it works.
Jeez.
Well, what did you say then? Camera modes,
yeah.
We're 6 minutes in and we've not talked about anything yet.
Talking of which, one thing I never do, unless I'm doing street photography, this is so true. I'll go out and vlog in my normal way and then whatever happens on the day, that becomes the title of my vlog.
Yeah.
I never say, let's go out and talk about, you know, I'll give you tips, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do the other, and then maybe I should do. So that way it would help me structure my videos a bit more. But I kind of like doing what I do.
It's funny,
yeah. Yeah, so we can be really credible on our own channels and be YouTube whores on this podcast, can't we?
That's,
That's not about camera modes.
Shooting modes.
Yeah. Are we talking about that?
Yeah, we should.
Do you want to digress again before we get into it?
Well, the answer to that is easy. Any shooting mode you're comfortable with, including fully automatic, works for me. Just to stress, I don't want to sound boring, but just to stress what you said, it really is more about the storytelling than anything. Yeah. However, if you want to take control or learn to be a better landscape photographer, then there's only one mode, and that is manual. If you want to take full
control. Why do you think that then?
Well, because panoramas, for instance. You know, you can't take panoramas in any other mode. Yes, you can, and yes, you can get lucky, and yes, you can get away with it. But there's no... If you're going to take a sequence of 7 or 8 or 9 shots, then the most important thing is for consistency with lighting throughout your image, consistency with focusing, a composition without stating the obvious, you know, what we're talking about, you hand-holding and so on and so forth. If you're good at your job and you know the settings inside and out, yes, you can get away with any of those settings. But the thing is, manual is so easy to learn.
Especially in landscape photography.
Especially
where
in
you've
landscape
got the time,
photography. Oh, God.
You've got the time to do it comfortably on the back of your camera. And it works. And I have a slight issue with it when people say it's the same if you put it in aperture priority mode and use exposure compensation. Is that you're essentially using, you're doing manual anyway. And that's not strictly true, is it? Because you're still using the camera meter, you're still relying on the camera meter to set things. Even if you are just rolling it, you're still using that meter to set the settings on the camera. And although you are, the output of that is still the same because you are adjusting that exposure compensation. Why not just do it in manual to start with? It's just...
it's more confusing doing it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
But worse still, it's almost like you're forever having to take a test shot, then look at the image that you've taken, then decide if the camera has taken the shot of you've seen it, and then start dialing in under or overexposure. And then you've got to look at the scene. When you pan from right to left, well, it's slightly brighter on the left-hand side than it is on the right-hand side. So now do you have to start dialing in underexposure as you start sweeping to the left?
I don't get it. I don't get it when you're talking about pano shots and stuff like that. That's why I prefer shooting manual. I don't have to think about anything else other than the exposure I'm taking the
shot.
Because
it's easier, isn't it?
Of course it is. It's easier. And I ain't got a problem with the people shooting aperture priority mode, smiority mode, whatever. Not bothered. It's all manual mode. I prefer shooting manual mode. And that's so I use it. But when I hear comments like people who shoot in manual are up themselves, well, why? I mean, just because you like shooting in a certain mode. So, you know, shooting aperture priority mode for your life.
But if you were to do a panorama in a fairly big scene and it's sunny and there's some cloud maybe, and then you sweep that panorama around in aperture priority mode on single point focus, or single point metering, essentially.
Yeah, metering, yeah.
That's going to create different exposures right across that scene, even if you're using exposure compensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The much better way to do it is to do it in manual. So you've got that exposure set. There will be some darker areas of the image and some brighter, just like reality.
Yeah.
And then you can change it in post, just normally, as you would a normal image across...
The dynamic across range will be so range, great that you're not going to be able to capture it.
Also in Lightroom now, you can take bracketed images... So you could do your pano as normal, sweeping around. If you've got it on a tripod, do bracketed images. So you do three bracketed images, move, do three, move, do three, move, do three, move, do three. Then put that all into Lightroom, and it will do it all for you. And it will combine the bracketed shots and it will combine the panorama shots into that one image for you. It makes it dead easy.
I did it last week. So on this week's vlog, I did a 15-shot HDR pano.
Yeah.
And it takes seconds.
Yeah.
It's great, seconds. Isn't it? But there's absolutely no way that you could shoot that in any other mode but manual.
Not easily.
You can, but it's so much of a fast...
You're making it more difficult
for yourself.
It's how far you let the camera take over. For example, if you're in aperture priority mode, then people will say shooting on the hoof and this, that and the other. Then what have you got to do? Set your ISO into auto mode, so you're going to get that other side of the triangle working properly. I'm constantly just messing around until I get the exposure right in camera with my manual settings.
Well, I mean, one of the arguments I've heard for shooting in aperture priority, now I don't have any, if you shoot in aperture priority and it works for you,
fine,
keep doing it.
Yeah.
And it is definitely a great way to start to learn, especially if you're not doing landscape photography, if you're doing portraits of your kids. Aperture priority is great to be in until you become...
I think we're talking...
Some people will shoot in that forever as professional photographers, totally cool with that. Personally, I don't, but... That's another matter. But one of the opinions I've heard around shooting in aperture priority mode is that cameras are so advanced now that you should let it do its thing.
Hmm.
And I don't particularly agree with that because I want to do my thing.
Yeah.
I still think I, as the photographer, know better than that camera.
Hmm.
Whilst you might see you take a picture with this now of a scene with really high dynamic range, it's using some sort of crazy algorithms to take a really well exposed shot across the frame, but your DSLR or mirrorless camera still isn't doing that.
No.
So I still want to, personally for me, I want to be in full control over what my camera is doing.
Mm.
You can only do that in manual mode.
So let's give you a scenario then. So we turn up, we're going to shoot, because we can all comfortably shoot in aperture priority because it's so simple, it's point and shoot. So we're going to shoot a scene, generally F8, generally F11 for your landscape shots. We've put the camera to our eye. We've depressed the fire button halfway down. What about our ISO? What would you do with your ISO?
That's what I've just said.
But yeah, but what would you do? Would you leave that in automatic? Or would you
that's
set
what
that
I presume.
To
I'd probably put it in. I'd probably put it to set it to 100 if you're doing landscape photography.
The comment I was on was this: that one of the comments was, "It's great if you go out and shoot handheld." Right. Yeah. So you're all right at an ISO 100 if it in aperture priority mode. But if the lighting conditions aren't right, it's going to set your shutter speed to a point where you're going to get a blurred image, aren't you?
That's not a bad point, is that if you're doing handheld landscape photography, probably it might be slightly easier.
It would, but you're going to have to, that's what I said, but you're going to have to put it on auto ISO, aren't you? Because if you're in dark lighting conditions, it's going to take the shutter speed to such a point.
Yeah, sorry.
Or am I wrong?
No, you're right.
No, but I want to go back to what I was saying.
So you're going
to
leave it on auto ISO?
You're going to have to.
But what,
otherwise, you're going to have it going below 1/125th of a second and becoming blurry or soft.
But go back to what I was saying then. So instantly now, we're going to shoot an aperture priority, but now we've made a conscious decision to set our ISO to 100. Mm. Well, out of the three settings...
Two of them have been taken.
We've already now set two of them.
Mm. Yeah.
And so... why leave it to chance? Because at the moment, unless you really know what you're doing, when you depress your fire button halfway down with your aperture set at f11, your ISO set to 100, now you have to be conscious of what your shutter speed actually is.
Now thinking about it, it's actually a problem doing it in AV for aperture priority for handheld, because...
That's what I'm saying.
Like you say, the camera will naturally bring the shutter speed down. Like you say, below...
Unless it's an auto ISO.
So yeah, and you to do handheld, you want 1/125th of a second or quicker, don't you, really, to handhold it safely. Yeah,
absolutely, unless you've got image stabilisation on the lens.
I mean, that was one of the big things that when I started doing I shoot manual for everything, pretty much. And it was one of the big things that one of the big reasons I started doing it for portraits particularly... is because you can set that shutter speed for one, I don't know, I usually go for like between 1/100th and 1/200th of a second. And particularly when I was using primes, you don't then need to worry about your camera not having image stabilization. Mm. Image stabilization on a lens becomes completely irrelevant when you're shooting still.
To the argument that we've had in the past is about the dinosaur thing, maybe it is because a lot of the new cameras have got that image stabilization on. And what does the image stabilize? Is it three stops it gives you?
I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
Because I've used the
so
the
I'm sorry three, if it's less than three
the
stops XH1 or more.
XH1 Fujifilm with in-body stabilization.
So their argument may well be that...
But still... Even if that does work and it lets you shoot at 1/50th of a second, it's not going to work every time. You're still going to at some point shift just a touch before you fire.
Yeah,
and you're going to get movement. But you could.
I'd take it away from aperture priority mode, and if I was going to shoot off the hoof and not have to worry about anything, I'd put it in full automatic and let it shoot. Just let it shoot. I think the middle ground is where it gets blurry. Yeah. What advantage are you getting over aperture priority than you are either shooting manual or fully automatic? Because if we're saying that the two corners or the three corners of the triangle, so the ISO, if you're going to shoot handheld, I presume you're going to have to put it on auto ISO, but with the worry that it's going to drop it below the 1/125th
of a
second.
Well, it will.
Yeah. Depending on the lighting condition.
Yeah.
Depending on the lighting condition. If it's bright light, you're not going to have to worry.
So a good example of where I think manual mode is superior in most in conditions is, say, if you were doing wildlife photography, say we're going to the Farne Islands to shoot the puffins. One option would be to use shutter priority. So set to 1/1000th of a second, or probably higher, 1/1250th, whatever.
Yeah.
To freeze those birds in flight. You could do that, and it would be quite effective in shutter speed priority.
Yeah.
But it would still adjust slightly. Now and again. So if you, as you're panning round to follow that bird, you're going to get different exposures at times between each shot. Whereas if you are in manual, particularly if it's an overcast day, you set it and you forget it, don't you? Like you get your exposure right, you set it, forget it, and you can just shoot happily all day without ever worrying about what your camera's doing.
I don't show birds, but Gary, I know you do. Is that what you do, Gary?
Yeah. Or manual.
If it's a cloudy day with broken cloud, then it's going to be... an issue because you've got the exposure when the sun's behind a cloud, you've got the exposure when the sun is out, but that's still only two, isn't it? You've got that one or you've got that one. If you're comfortable adjusting it between those two things as the clouds move, I mean, that's how I do it. I've got two different exposures and I just adjust between them usually with my ISO.
Same as all of us, I don't have an issue with with any of the settings, if you're comfortable shooting aperture priority or shutter speed priority or fully automatic or P whatever, it makes a difference to me as long as you're comfortable with it. However, if you want to learn to be a better photographer and take more control, there is only one setting, and that's manual. And I could pretty much set your cameras in here, as we all know, I could set your camera at F11 and tape it off, ISO 100 and tape it off, pretty much set you off or set you out into the field, and all you would do is simply adjust the shutter speed according to the light.
Yeah.
And it's as simple
as... keep the camera steady on a tripod.
Keeping your camera steady on a tripod.
You see, I mean, how many years' experience have you got shooting and teaching photography? How many years in general?
17 years.
17 years. Day in, day out. As somebody with that level of experience and tens of thousands of hours of tuition, it makes sense. From a teaching point of view, that's what you're teaching people that are paying you money. So you're not doing it for the fun of it. If you thought that aperture priority was the best thing to do, you would be teaching aperture priority, wouldn't you?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and I mean, again, I can give you my opinion because I've always shot in manual. Yeah. I have. But when I've tried to shoot in aperture priority, I find it personally a faff.
So if you're taking pictures of your kids... Will you do a lot?
I just stick it in automatic mode. Well, I play around. I play around with different things. If I was just going around and snapping my kids, yeah, I would stick it in auto mode. But I don't. I play around with them. So if I'm going to take pictures of my kids, that's what I use.
Yeah.
My iPhone.
I mean, I actually find sometimes if I'm using my DSLR to take pictures of the family and then my kids want to take one of me or something, I often find that you get better results from the camera just putting it in fully automatic as you do putting it into aperture priority. Just whack it onto that green, fully
it's
automatic,
easy.
Hand it to the kids and they take a picture and it looks great easy. A lot of the time.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got a lens on there with a big aperture.
I think that's why I go for it, but that's why I bought DSLR though, because I want to be playing around with that triangle all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like we can give people broad information about shooting with a histogram and shooting to the right and shooting to whatever. But there are certain situations where I'll break those rules because I know how my camera works and I know what I want elements out of the shot.
So if I was to accuse you as a very experienced photographer of just being smarmy or clever or trying to tell people what to do...
Mm.
And shooting manual, what's your response to that?
I think we said it, shooting whatever you like. But if you really want to know, squeeze and wring everything out of the camera that you've spent a lot of money on, at least learn manual mode and base your decisions on shooting between manual and aperture priority on your experience rather than what somebody tells you.
That's a good point, because if you started taking pictures 5 years ago and you've been using aperture priority for the last few years and then you never explore shooting in manual, that seems strange to me, to not fully explore what your tool can do from top to bottom. For me, it seems like a weird thing to do. But if you go to manual, explore that for a while.
And you don't like
learn what it does so you're fully aware and you're fully educated. If you then decide to go back to aperture priority because you prefer it, that's totally cool. But to never, ever learn it or explore it seems to me a very strange thing to do, just relying on the fact that people are telling you that you don't need to do manual. That doesn't quite sit with me.
Because what we're not saying is we're not up ourselves by saying you must shoot in manual.
We're not saying that.
We're not do what you want. What I am saying is when you've got a professional photographer of almost 20 years experience and he's saying there's got to be something in that shooting in manual mode. And, you know, there are people that are shooting in aperture priority who are getting excellent images, but that's part of their workflow and that workflow works well for them. So it is horses for courses. I've personally tried shooting, for example, in certain areas such as woodland in aperture priority, and the shots will be decent, especially if I use exposure compensation. Yeah. I'll get a decent image. But I don't like doing it that way because I know how... Because for years and years and years, I've shot in manual mode. But to say you're up yourself because you say shooting in manual, that's not... It's not, I mean, cricket.
I'm not even saying it, or we're not even saying it, because it's Paul, Adam and Gary.
Yeah.
Just go to the library and pick up a book from 100 years ago. Yeah. And it's the same. It's the same principles. It hasn't changed.
I'll play devil's advocate there, because I've just said what I think. But do you not think that could you not be accused of dinosaurs and the things have moved on, and the fact that we've got image stabilization now? No. Aperture priority. No,
I think if you're someone like Gary does and like I do, who teach photography, I think you have a certain amount of responsibility to teach the thing that is correct and accurate.
That's a question, because if I started doing workshops tomorrow, my priority would be to teach people how I do it, which would be in manual mode, and then I would go through the other settings that you can shoot in if you wish. So you're saying that if somebody came on a workshop with you, or with you, Gary, I think you've made your point, but you would teach them or go no in a positive way. That's what you would do. You would go through how to shoot that camera for landscape photography.
I will encourage people to start shooting in manual there and then,
while
they're stood next to me and I can help them with it, because I think it's the way you get most control over your camera. And if you put the time in and learn your camera and how it works, and then you're making your choice based on knowledge and being well educated about what you're doing, if you then decide to do what you want, that's fine. But by having that full control over your camera, you can then go off and be artistic. Do you know what I mean? With photography, there are certain objective things, one of which is the technical aspect. So it's objective, it's factual. Like
it's a science.
It's a science there, which you can learn and is well documented, like Gary says.
As to professional photographers, the question I'm going to ask you is, what advantage do you see could possibly be derived from shooting in aperture priority then? What instances in the landscape?
I mean, personally, I wouldn't ever use it in the landscape, but it's easier in some circumstances. But like we said, with the panoramas, it's probably going to be more difficult.
I think so.
It's
one more thing to think about.
You can't focus stack?
No.
You can't focus stack either, because in theory, you've got to take two shots and recompose.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you can really try your best to hand-hold it. Oh, okay, you can if you're
saying hand-held,
because
I know a lot of people who shoot aperture priority shoot on the tripod.
Yeah.
It's sort of, because you are slowing the process down.
Another thing I've heard about people criticizing people that shoot in manual, saying that they're just relying on their camera. And I'm not. I'm relying on three things when I shoot manual now with digital cameras.
I don't get that.
But they're saying you're only using the light meter to get it. What I'm using is a combination of the light meter on the built-in light meter on the camera, the histogram, and the actual appearance of the image on the back of the screen. I'm using those three things to get my exposure correct.
Perfect.
So I'm not relying on just one thing that the camera's doing. I'm relying on those three few things plus a bit of experience.
But it's the experience, because we all know the advantages and disadvantages of your light meter in the camera, depending on how you use that light meter. So I shoot in spot mode, and it's got its advantages and its disadvantages, but that's how I shoot. And I know when the camera is telling me things with the histogram. I think it's how you know your camera, because I meter, spot meter. And I know the foibles of spot metering compared to other modes of metering, because I know my camera inside out. So I know what the histogram could be telling me or not telling me could be slightly off, but I just know through knowing the camera that works.
Yeah.
And that's why I enjoy shooting in manual mode, so I've just got I can tweak things the way I know how.
That
makes sense, or is that waffle?
I just really want to be clear that we're not telling people what to do.
We're not
against people using aperture priority or shutter priority. Do whatever you want. But I think to me it's just bizarre, if you're taking something seriously and you're trying to get better at it, to not then explore all the possibilities. That's just, and it's almost like that hit.
I think it just doesn't
make sense to me.
I think if we want to come across as a balanced view, though, is all three of us are saying shooting manual, and I brought it up before. Is there any advantage at all that we could say to people, we understand why you're shooting aperture priority when you're taking a landscape image?
In landscape photography, I'm struggling to see the benefits. With portrait photography or documentary photography, street photography,
wildlife,
yeah, where you've got, you're changing direction all the time, you've got different exposures at every turn, then aperture priority is something that can be very beneficial, and it
makes
is a
absolute
lot,
sense.
Lot easier.
But there wasn't with the cameras, I think that those different priority or those different modes are set up for different types of shooting other than the landscape shot, where you've got time to compose that image and work with that composition and work with the light.
Well, look,
or am I wrong?
It doesn't feel like you are.
No. I mean, even the handheld thing is, and again, am I wrong? Because with the image stabilization, and I know I'm going over the point, but if you're wanting to make sure that the image is not blurred, you're going to have to put it in auto ISO. So two out of the three things you're setting in the camera. And so the only other thing that is actually happening from a point of view, is clicking the shutter, isn't it?
Yeah. But in aperture priority, though, say you set it to f/11.
Yeah.
So you're already going quite dark.
Yeah.
And you leave auto ISO on, then it's still going to lower your shutter speed as well. It's not going to set a shutter speed of 1/200th of a second and then ISO 5,000.
I mean the thing is a landscape shot, right? Normally people are shooting, what, f8 to f16 if they don't want diffraction. You maybe be f8 to a bit less, but the only thing that you're actually controlling with the camera is your depth of field, aren't you? Yeah. The rest of it, it's the camera that's doing it for you.
Yeah, which is very nerve-wracking.
That's kind of my point, though, isn't it? Like I want to have control of that.
I mean, the only way that can work is if you really know what you're doing. So if you depress the fire button halfway down and it's now showing, because of the lack of light now, it's only a 20th of a second, you have to be aware of that. Ah, right, now because it's 20th of a second, how am I going to compensate? Well, we're going to have to open the aperture. Now we lose depth of field, or we're going to have to raise our ISO.
If you're handheld.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's even more confusing than shooting in manual.
Yeah. That's a good point as well, though, because as you start to shoot in manual, it forces you to start thinking about light more, doesn't it? Because that cloudy day I'm talking about, you know that if that cloud comes across, you're going to lose two stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just start, as experience builds, this all comes, it's like driving a car. It becomes second nature.
Yeah.
And you just know I've got to drop two stops there. Yes, you could do that on exposure compensation. But
what about from a beginner who's just going out and shooting? Because if you shoot, let's say, in aperture priority mode, you're shooting at f/11, so you know you've got your depth of field right, and then you're in auto ISO and you are shooting one stop above and one stop below, the chances are that you're going to come out with a good exposure in that image, aren't you?
Yeah.
On a tripod, because then you're taking the shutter speed out of the equation.
Yeah.
Maybe it simplifies things and lets people dip them to understand how depth of field works, and then move on a little bit further, a little bit training wheels on a bike.
Yeah, the reason I encourage people with landscape photography, though, to do manual straight away is that learn everything together, and you are capable of doing that. So rather than separating learning the technical skills from everything else, just do it all together while it's fun and you're learning. Mm. And you're on a steep learning curve anyway because it's difficult at first. Let's learn bits about composition and how the camera works at the same time, rather than completely ignoring the technical aspects and just thinking about composition, then hoping your camera sorts it out for you. Why not learn it all together? Start learning those technical issues or getting on top of those technical issues. So as you get better at creating good compositions, your camera skills follow that up as well at the same time, rather than getting 5 years down the line where you're taking some really nice compositions, but you're virtually still a beginner with controlling the camera. Take the two things together and your experience will genuinely match what you're doing, and it'll make you better anyway if you do.
I think your rationale makes absolute sense to me, because obviously I was playing devil's advocate there. But the other thing is the beauty that we've got from the landscape photography genre is you've got time.
Yeah.
You can sit down, you could sit there for an hour and a half, and we mentioned about shutter counts, didn't we? And maybe put higher shutter count on your camera and experiment with that triangle and with different lighting conditions. Because the great thing is we've got that EXIF data, so you can take it back, can't you, into post-processing and see what works. And then you think, well, great, at f16, in those lighting conditions, at that shutter speed, with the dynamic range of my camera, that worked well. And then goes into your data bank, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's one of the other things I've heard as well, is that when we're trying to play devil's advocate and give a balanced argument, is that shooting aperture priority gives you more time to enjoy the landscape.
Yeah, but that's counter. That doesn't make sense.
I mean, that's one of the things I've heard someone say. Like,
yeah.
But I don't want to worry about my camera in the field. I just want to enjoy the moment. And
well, then don't take a camera. Take your iPhone. Well, what are we doing it for? We're going out, aren't we, at the end of the day, with a camera to enjoy the art of photography. So, and again, why not take pictures with your camera? I'm not disparaging that.
No, but if
you're going to spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on a DSLR that allows you to manipulate and play with light and everything else, why would you then put it and let the camera do the work?
Yeah, that's a good description, that of play with the light, because that's what you're doing, isn't it?
Spend most of your time. As I said, I mentioned about the histogram. We all get taught that you shoot the histogram with the digital as far to the right as you can. Sometimes I'm not doing that when I shoot. It just purely depends on what I want. And people will say, well, you shoot it to the right and then you can get everything back as much as possible in post-production. Yeah, you can. But there are certain times where I'm out in the field that I want to play around a little bit.
Well, what I do when I run workshops, I don't preach to anybody. But what I say is, look, just watch me shoot. Mm. Watch me set my camera up in manual mode. And if you feel that however you shoot, whether it's shutter speed or aperture priority, is better than what I do, then continue doing it. I don't have a problem with that. Mm. I don't preach to everybody. But I have people all the time, you know, when you speak to them, what modes do you shoot in? Well, I shoot in aperture priority. I always have them. Well, do me a favor. Just watch me set up my camera. Yeah. Okay, and then you choose. Mm. And that's what I always say, you choose.
That's a great method of teaching, though.
Mm. Yeah, and challenge them to it.
I mentioned it on a couple of podcasts ago, is when people are telling you what you should and shouldn't be doing. You know what I mean? And you're shooting aperture priority mode because it does this and it does that. Well, when it doesn't do that and this, and there are potential pitfalls to that and they're not explained, then that worries me, because if people are watching that and thinking they're going to get good advice by doing that, then there's a concern.
I think it's bad advice for anybody to offer any advice other than manual. When we're talking about you taking full control of your camera, then I think any other advice is bad advice.
Mm.
But like we said, and we're going to stress again, if you shoot an aperture priority and you know what you're doing and you're comfortable with it, keep doing it. I'm not telling you you're doing it wrong. Absolutely far from it. But shooting in manual is so easy, especially at landscape photography. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
But it goes back to photography myths, doesn't it? It's like, from a beginner point of view, you have to shoot in the lowest ISO possible. That's, for me, is a landscape photography myth.
Yeah.
Now, if you can shoot in the lowest ISO you can possibly get the conditions right to get the correct exposure is absolutely valid. But you don't have to be going and shooting every single image at ISO 64 or 100.
No, true.
It's a myth.
Mm. But you have to shoot in manual mode. That's a myth that isn't true. You don't have to.
No, you don't.
You can get great images in aperture priority. Yep. But also, manual or aperture priority, you should shoot in aperture priority because manuals are a waste of time.
Yeah.
That's a myth.
Yeah.
It's also not true.
You have to shoot with a tripod. That's a myth.
Yeah.
You have to shoot a pano shot on a tripod. That's a myth.
Yeah.
But what is a fact is that to have total control over your camera, you've got to shoot in manual.
Yeah.
It's just a truth. Otherwise,
it's a truth.
Yeah, because it's a fact. Truth. Otherwise, you're letting your camera do stuff for you. And that's the decision to make, isn't it? Do you want to have full manual control over your camera, yes or no? If your answer to that is no, cool. Do shoot in aperture priority mode. But if you do want to have full control, which is what I recommend to people, so that you can then put that in your knowledge bank and focus on the art, then you need to be shooting in manual mode. That's when it does change a little bit, though, is with focus. So we're talking about being in M mode, aren't we?
Yeah.
And controlling the triangle manually, but then there's manual focus as well, isn't there? And I'm less strict with that because I think the focus on these cameras these days is flawless. And I test it quite a lot. I shoot mostly in manual focus.
You still have to choose what to focus on.
That's true.
That has to be right.
Yeah, that's absolutely. True. But that's the same with manual focus or automatic focus. But I will leave it in autofocus sometimes.
We've had a discussion about focus in the past, and the number of people that are coming on board with that you focus to infinity for landscape shots and it gets things sharper. The sound is becoming overwhelming.
Myth.
Yeah. But have you tried it? Have you actually been out, Gary, and tried it with your digital camera and shot at infinity and seen if it was sharper all the way to the front to back compared to doing it with the traditional way?
Well, no, it isn't.
No.
That's the thing with focusing. That's the thing with all the talk around focusing that I don't particularly understand is that just try it.
That's what I'm saying.
These images cost you nothing. Like, take one picture focusing on if you're not comfortable with it as you're learning.
Yeah.
Take one at infinity, one at the in the middle somewhere, and then one in the foreground. If you want to learn about hyperfocal distance, do that.
Yeah.
Isn't entirely necessary.
Yeah. The thing is I don't want to get, because we've traditionally, especially coming from a film background, would have shot using the traditional views, but there are people out there that have said that they've good photographers that have extensively tested where to focus, and they're telling that they've done the tests and it's better shooting at infinity with, and if you're shooting let's say f8 and you've got something in the very near foreground, then focus stack that. But most of the time, you'll get everything a lot sharper focusing at infinity. Now, I haven't got experience with it, but it's something I'm going to test in the field.
I don't know. Maybe some people. It's just some people's desire to be contrary. I don't know. But
different. Yeah.
With Nikon, do they not have built-in bracketed focus stacking now?
Yeah, they do. The DA50 does.
You could do that, couldn't you?
The DA50 does, but...
You could do that.
But the thing is...
Again, for me...
That's not true.
The problem with it for me is that when I've done it, automatically, I've not quite got the results that I really wanted.
Right.
So it's easier for me, because I know if I'm focus stacking, what points I'm going to shoot at in that element for that focal length, for that depth of field that I'm shooting with. So I know, right, I'm going to point here, here, and here, like you did on your Woodland video, Gary.
Yeah.
I just know it, it's in my head. So it's easier for me to go boom, click, boom, click, boom, click.
One of the things I love about manual focus is the feel of it.
Mm.
And I'm not usually into this kind of thing. I don't usually need those tactile inputs, but I love the feel of manual focusing. I remember when I used to do some video before all the autofocus systems worked with a DS on my old Canon 5D Mark II. I used to manual focus for video as I'm hand holding it.
Mm.
And it just felt really good, like
shifting
that. Yeah, it was. And it's the same manual focusing a lens now for a landscape. It just feels really nice, doesn't it?
But you know what? That's interesting here, because there's a wee contradiction there, because we've talked about film and we've talked about vinyl, and you're an advocate of things have moved on, but you love the tactile nature of holding the camera.
I know it doesn't make sense, and I'm all over the place.
There'll be people shooting with Nikon D850s that will be shouting now, saying, focus stacking, why are you still manually focus stacking? It does an absolutely amazing job. I'm sure it does, but...
Yeah, and I think that's a different... That's kind of my point, though, is that manual focusing, the automatic mode around focusing is a different thing to manual mode that controls exposure. I think it's where the camera does do it better than us with focus.
Mm.
It does a better job than we do, particularly for portraits and stuff.
It's quicker.
And you're flicking around. I would argue that with portraits that quicker focusing is better and it's more accurate. I've tried manual focusing for portraits.
Oh, agreed.
I'm not totally as accurate. So it's where that is where the camera has progressed beyond what we can do. I don't think that's the case with exposure.
Mm.
I think we can still... And the thing with exposure as well is that you only need to be within a couple of stops to get it right, to then be able to rescue it or correct it in post.
Mm, definitely.
You've got some leeway, haven't you? Mm. So it doesn't need to be perfect every time.
Depending on the dynamic range of your camera, obviously some entry-level cameras, the dynamic range is not going to be as good as the more expensive kit. And maybe that's what that's aimed at, is if you shoot one shot under, one shot over in aperture priority mode, you've got a chance of coming back with something with a nice exposure.
I think one of you mentioned last time that you know somebody that brackets every single shot.
I did, yeah.
Just as a bit of security. So, yes, you're using a relatively automatic mode of the camera with the bracketing, but it's an effective way of doing it, isn't it?
It's a lazy way of doing it. It's lazy.
If you're not sure about, but it's a good way. If you want to get into manual, and you're not 100% confident, it's quite. It gives you that safety blanket a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's what I was saying about the beginners. Is I think it does, because you said if you're teaching them, you'll encourage them to jump in to the water, metaphorically speaking, and start playing with the camera in manual. But you are giving them water wings, aren't you? Again, metaphorically speaking.
I mean, if you're bracketing every shot, you'll soon get sick of, won't you? Because
I think
you don't want all those files sitting on your computer.
That's the key. I think that somebody who shoots in aperture priority will, in my limited experience, will get very bored very quickly and want to carry on playing with the different dials to get more control over the camera.
I'll tell you why that doesn't work. It's because you don't learn anything from getting it right. You learn from getting it wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you're going to run a bracket of three stops either side, right, then at the end of the day, you'll never get it wrong. And so if you just constantly do that, you'll never learn.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
I agree with Adam, and it's a really good point that
you'll never learn.
It's the only where I've learned in life is when I made mistakes, and that's the problem with society these days. Is sometimes you can't afford to make mistakes because you get absolutely lambasted for it. But at least with our passion of photography, when we're not shooting for a brief, how many times in the past have you gone out, made a mistake, and learned from it?
It's a point that's going to become trite very quickly, but it's about embracing or reassigning what we consider to be a failure in landscape photography. So if you go out, go for a walk, enjoy the landscape, take your picture, you come back and you've totally mucked it up, is that a failure? Is it?
You'll have learned something.
You won't do it again.
No, exactly. So, I mean, it's just learning from your mistakes and enjoying your time while you're out.
But the great,
better than doing that than sitting watching TV, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you've had total control of your camera and you've got an understanding of how you can manipulate the settings on the camera to get that exposure, and you get back and you understand focal length, you understand depth of field, you understand shutter speed, and you understand aperture, well, depth of field and aperture, the same thing, and you go and look at your EXIF data, you can look at those mistakes and say, well, that didn't work because of X, Y, and Z, because you understand it.
And there are times I think you could potentially get back having shot in aperture priority mode where you've mucked it up, and then you're not sure what's gone wrong
because the camera's done a little bit for you.
Yeah.
So was it me or was it the camera?
Yeah. You don't know, do you?
No.
Yeah. And then you blame the camera. Then you think, ah, damn! I wish I did buy Canon instead of this silly Nikon.
Yeah.
That was a joke, by the way.
It's quite. One of my friends a little while ago sort of taught me something because he did a bit of boxing.
Yeah.
And he said that if you're in a fight in a boxing match, there are not too many situations in life where this occurs, but doing nothing is not an option. And shooting a manual is a bit like that. You've got to do something, haven't you? You've got to be proactive in taking control of your camera.
Yeah.
Whereas in aperture priority mode, you don't really need to do anything. You just point and shoot, don't you? And it almost, shooting in manual mode forces that kind of learning where there's nowhere to hide. Like you say, if you make a mistake in manual mode, that is your fault. It's nobody else. Camera didn't do it because you took control.
I like that analogy. So,
the other thing is maybe it is a bit of the megalomaniac in me. I like having control. I like having control of the results.
Maybe we're just all three of us are control freaks.
That's another option. But at least you know,
massive egos.
We've spent money on the cameras, like everybody is listening and watching. Well done. And I just want to squeeze everything out of the camera in the conditions.
But maybe that's the argument, is that if you've spent a load of money on the electronics inside your camera, you're then not using them.
It's definitely an argument for the focus stacking thing, and I'm sure people will comment, because I'm not using it and it does a great job, otherwise it wouldn't be on the camera.
Yeah,
that's a different thing to shooting in manual. The reason that I want a DSLR is so I can shoot in manual. Yeah. If I'm going to shoot in aperture priority, there isn't that much difference, in my opinion, and I'll come off the fence, between shooting in aperture priority mode and an automatic mode, specifically if I'm handheld. All right. Either use my iPhone or stick my DSLR into full auto mode or have a compact camera and shoot that way. If I'm shooting landscape photography, then I'm going to shoot in manual. Yeah. That's just the way I am. But, I mean, am I saying something out of turn there?
Well, no, but another thing that doesn't wash as well, you know, and this is so true, is that people will be very quick probably to jump on this. And maybe some of the comments that people might leave is, oh, well, such and such shoots an aperture priority and he won the best landscape photographer of the year award, blah, blah, blah. Well, again, that's not a problem because that's what we're all saying. Shoot an aperture priority or any other mode you want to. But if you do that and you do it right, you still have to know and understand the triangle. And in which case, if you know and understand the triangle, then why aren't you taking full advantage of it?
Just to follow on from that point, it doesn't define how good you are as a photographer either.
No.
I'm not saying I'm a better photographer than you because I shoot in manual and you shoot in aperture priority.
Yeah.
Not what I'm saying.
No.
That's not just... It's,
there are some awesome photographers that will comment that they're shooting aperture priority, but I would be interested to know how many of them originally shot in manual mode and then went over to aperture priority once they knew the camera was inside out. So I think that's going to be a contentious one, isn't it?
It potentially could, but it's like we say, I just
encourage people to, well, they won't have done because it was switched off, but listen to the end because that's a balanced argument that we've given. Three of us shoot in manual, but we've given the reasons why, and we're saying if you want to shoot in aperture priority, do it.
Yeah.
But don't tell people you're up yourselves because you're shooting in manual and vice versa.
You know, this is an oddball podcast, this, because what are we talking about? We're talking about photography.
We haven't digressed at all.
It's been deep with nothing but photography.
you know, and there are facts in photography and they're missing photography. I mean, for example, which one's that now?
That's probably mine.
We haven't got any cameras left. Yeah, we have.
We're running out.
Facts in photography is if you use a tripod, you're going to get sharper images, but it doesn't mean that you have to shoot using a tripod with landscape photography. I think that's from myths versus facts, isn't it?
Should we end it before
I think we're going to lose all the cameras.
I think it's only
going to go. It's
only
going to go dark.
Hang on a second. No, you can't see me. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you later.
Right.